Perhaps we can just pray that the Lord will just speak to us this morning, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and that we might experience more of His love in our lives, because that's what we need, that's what you need, that's what we need as a body, and that's what the world out there needs. More than anything else, they need the love of Christ, demonstrated through a people of love, just how Jesus was when He was here. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that You will speak to our hearts. Lord, we don't just want to hear the word, we want to be hearers of the word and doers of it. We want to believe Your word and receive Your word and then do it. So, Father, we ask You to help us, each one of us this morning, as we listen to Your word, that it'll become living action in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Wasn't that great testimony that we had from Mark this morning? The idea of leading someone to Christ is the most wonderful thing. To lead someone to know Jesus, to have that privilege of introducing them to Him and to get them to pray and praying for them is the most wonderful thing. And then, of course, after that is then the whole thing of discipleship and get them involved in church and everything else. But, you know, in Romans 5, it says this. It says, therefore, having been justified, which means being made righteous. God made us right with Him through what Jesus did. He has made us righteous. Having been made right or made righteous, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice, jumping up and down, in full of glory, in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, how many of you this morning are going through some tribulation this morning? How many of you are going through some pressures? Just put up your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because we all go through times of pressure. And it says here that, and that's what that word means, it says that not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. That word glory means to get excited. It means to delight in. It probably means to jump up and down as well. It means that when we go through things, when we go through difficulties and challenges and pressures and things aren't going the way that we believe they should be going, it means at that point we need to glory in God. We need to thank God, not because of the negative thing perhaps that's happening, but we need to thank God that He is still reigning, He is still Lord, and He's still in charge, and He can change everything. Amen. And so we need to glory in the time of difficulty. We need to revel in it, because Jesus Christ is Lord, not because of the difficulty, but because of who He is. And this is why it says, give thanks in every situation you find yourself, not because the situation is necessarily a good one, but to give thanks means to you open the door of your heart for God to come and for the Holy Spirit to come and change your situation. Amen. It may not be about you, it may be about a relative, it may be about someone else, it may be about something else in the church or in the workplace. But as we begin to give thanks to God and really begin to understand we give glory to God in every situation, we glory in our tribulations. Only Christians could do that. Only crazy, spirit-filled, love-filled Christians could possibly be happy about going through a difficulty. But you know, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And it says that we are to glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation or pressure produces perseverance. When God allows difficulties to come, if you know how gold is formed, if you know how diamonds are made, they are made out of difficulty. Gold and other precious things are made out of pressure, literally the pressure of matter and rocks, as you know. Some of you will know that, probably know more better than I do. But they're actually formed out of pressure. And if you think of it this way, that pressure is allowed in your life to actually form gold. What is gold in your life? What is gold? What can we say gold is this morning? Refining, achievement. Well, the gold is the if you like the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. The gold is that part of Christ being formed in you, if we put it that way. So under the pressure, what God is wanting to form, He's wanting to form Christ Jesus in you. He's wanting you to do what Latifah spoke about earlier, which is rather than look to people for our answers, we look to God. Now, people, God will use people to get our answers, but if we look firstly to people and not to God, we'll trip up, ourselves up, like I nearly did just then. So the pressure, God allows pressure to form Christ inside of you. And if you respond to pressure in the right way, gold will be formed. And you'll become precious, not just to God, but you'll become precious to other people because you'll be able to give out of the presence of God. That's what gold is. It's the presence of Almighty God. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so if you're going through pressure this morning, I want to encourage you, jump up and down at least 5 times in the morning. Over your problems and over your difficulties. That's what I do. Jump up and down and spin around a few times and just thank God that you're alive in Christ and that he's living in you. Just begin to do that. It's a good habit to get into. First of all, it helps you to lose some weight. It keeps you fit. But most of all, listen, it enables God to come and do something in your situation. Every time you complain and whine and groan about something difficult that's happening in your life, guess what happens? It gets worse. But if you glory in Christ, if you glory in your difficulty where you need a breakthrough, if you begin to jump up and down, even if you can't physically jump up and down in your mind, okay? Think of Elizabeth at the moment. Jump up and down. Do something about it and begin to thank God. You'll begin to see God's victory released over that situation and over that matter. And God is forming Christ on the inside of you. God is forming something precious. He's making you precious. You are precious in his sight, but he wants to form something in you so that when you meet somebody else in the body, in the church, what you release to them is the gold. What you release them isn't just you, it's Christ in you. And this is what God is wanting to work in us as a whole body, as a church. He wants Christ in us to be manifest in our relationships together and how we are towards one another. He wants that gold to come out. And the world is looking for this kind of gold. He's looking for this kind of substance. It's called love. It's called the pure love of God. And not only that, but we also glory in pressures and tribulations, knowing that these tribulation pressures produce perseverance. God wants us to press through and not give up. You know, I, as a pastor, I tell you what, one of the things I hear a lot is, I'm giving up. And people say it in different ways, but I hear, I'm giving up, or I've given up. It's no good, I can't go any further. That's it, that's the end. That's one of the common things that I hear. And yet you know that the reason, that one of the reasons that God allows those things to come is that God wants us to respond in the right way and he wants to teach us how to persevere. That means to press through the difficulty. It means like the athlete that you run, you break, not break wind, you break the stitch, is it? You get your second wind. That's what I was trying to get to. Sorry about that. Yeah, you get the second wind. Okay, you get the second wind. And as you get your second wind, because I used to do quite a bit of running, not quite as good as Pam here or Richard, but I used to do a lot of cross-country running. And when you get your second wind, you feel like you could run for a lot further than you can. And this is called perseverance. God is wanting you and me to persevere in our lives. And as we persevere, remember Christ is living in you. As you persevere with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it will produce what? Just look in your Bible. What is it? What does perseverance produce?
Character.
Are we all reading out the same Bible? Look, it produces character. Whose character is it producing?
Jesus'
character. That's the whole point. It's not just making you a better character, it'll do that, but it's talking about producing the character of Christ in you. So pressures come so that our faith is tested, we are being challenged in our lives, but it's so that we can persevere, it's so that it can produce the character of Christ inside of you. I knew you'd be excited about that. If you let God have his way with you and you obey him and follow him and press through, it'll produce the character of Christ inside of you. That means that you'll become more like Jesus. That means the way that you respond to people and situations is you'll respond from Christ Jesus rather than reacting from your old nature. Now, this is really important because for many years as Christians, we can be following Jesus and we're constantly living out of reaction. we constantly live out of reaction. Something happens and we react. We react in our minds, we react in our hearts, we react with the things that we say. We are in reactive mode, but God wants us not to be reactors. Not nuclear reactors, okay? He wants us to be responders. Amen. And there's two different things on the inside of you. Inside of you, you've got just your self life. And you can either react out of self or you can respond out of Christ in you. That's slightly different. You can respond out of your spirit to your situation and to people, or you can react out of what we say, the flesh. That's the self life. You can just have a natural reaction. It could be anger. It could be saying the wrong thing. It just doesn't have the love of God in it. Now, we're in a season where God is saying, listen, I want you to work this love out. I don't want to just be a good sermon or a good preach on the Sunday or a good word to read out of the Bible, but I want you to put this into practice. So if we put it into practice, it means that the way that we live the rest of the week is that we're responders. We're not reactors. Just say, I want to be a responder. You're talking to God this morning. You're saying, God, I want to be a responder. I want to respond out of the Spirit, out of my heart, out of Christ. I want to respond out of Him, not out of me. And God is wanting to change our reactions to become responses that come out of His love. That's the whole point. None of us in this room this morning, as far as I'm aware, could possibly say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've got no idea what you're saying. I don't know Jesus. We all have responded to Christ and He's living in us this morning. That means that we can respond out of the love of Christ who's living in us this morning. We can respond in obedience to Him. And it says here that He's going to produce character, and character, that character of Christ, when we respond to our situations in the right way, will produce hope. And this word hope is God's kind of hope. It's in the Bible. It's not a hope that says, well, I hope it may happen. It may not. No, God's kind of hope says it will happen. Undoubtedly, it will happen. This is God's kind of hope. And it says that character will produce hope on the inside of you. Now, hope has a confident, overflowing sense of joy because you know it's going to happen one day. It may not have happened yet, but you know that as God is producing character inside of you, that character is producing a living hope. It's like faith. It's not quite the same as faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's connected with faith. So this is to do with faith. And faith, hope, and love go together. They're never separate. They all go together. And so when we're going through things, God is wanting to create the character of Christ in us, that we're responding out of Christ inside of us. We're responding out of that love, and that produces a hope. Because we're getting nearer to the answer of what we're believing God for. We're getting closer to the thing that we've asked Him to do, or that we know that He's going to do. It produces hope on the inside of us. Amen. Amen. And it may be in your personal life, there's things that you're believing God that haven't happened yet that's going to happen. You're believing things perhaps in your family. You're believing things in the church. You're believing things perhaps in Crawley or in East Grinstead. You're believing things in our nation. Things that you know God has spoken, things for the church, things that He has said but haven't happened yet. And sometimes it seems like things are going exactly opposite to the way that God said. Anyone been there? Perhaps some of us are still there in some of those things, but God has spoken His word, and these are the things that God is producing in us through these pressures and tribulations, and He's producing perseverance, character. Character produces hope. Now listen, just read verse 5, because it says in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint. This kind of hope you'll get by listening to God. You'll get by getting alone with God and just being still before Him. You'll get by being in receiving mode and just letting the Holy Spirit speak to you out of the Bible and just quietly in your own time with Him. He'll begin to release hope to you because you'll hear His voice speaking to you. There's nothing better than hearing God speak. Amen. When you hear God speak to you, when you hear Him speak to you out of the Bible, or speaking to you directly in a prophetic way, or speaking to you quietly as you're praying, as you're listening, you can't beat hearing God speak to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every
word.
It means the spoken, direct, now word of God that He has in your life right now. And we need to be still and quiet before him so that we can receive his now word into our lives, so that we know what he's saying to me right now. And that brings a great hope and a great sense of security, no matter what's happening around us. And it says, and our hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Now, I just want to read to you about this love for a minute, if I may, I'm going to cheat, okay? I'm going to get this straight out, read it word for word out of my word wealth in my Bible, because it describes the word love, agape or agape love. This is a Greek word that wasn't well known in the time of Jesus. When it was written, this was not a well-used word. It was in a way, it was a new word, because it was describing the God kind of love. And we spoke about this some weeks ago, about the God kind of love went to the cross. The God kind of love sent the Son, sent Jesus from heaven to die on the cross for us. The God kind of love was crucified on a cross and took all of our sins. He didn't do it for himself, he did it for you and me. And was raised again from the dead on the third day, to give us his life and to give us his forgiveness and his love. And it's saying that this agape, it says, a word to which Christianity gave new meaning. Outside of the New Testament, it rarely occurs in existing Greek manuscripts of the period. Agape, this word love, denotes an undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person. Shall I say that again? Shall I read that again? See, we read the word love and say, oh yes, that's love. But we forget what that word love actually really means. This word love, it says, hope does not disappoint because the love, the agape of God, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's very important that when we read the Bible, read it in its context. It's saying here that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this is something that was available, has been done, and is available today. And it's on the inside of you. It's living in you today. And this word, love, agape, it denotes an undefeatable benevolence. An undefeatable benevolence. It's an attitude that never gives up. That's the love of God. It's an attitude that says, it doesn't matter what happens, I will succeed. It says it doesn't matter how things appear to be, God can change them. It says that this kind of love is undefeated. No matter what pressure you go through, this love will see you through. Because it's not based upon you, thank God, amen, or me. It's based upon him. This love is based upon him, and his love, it says, has been poured out by the Holy Spirit inside of you. So inside of you this morning, inside of each one of us that have declared Jesus Christ to be our Lord, inside of us we have a well of living waters. And the wells of living waters are full of what? Full of love. The wells of living waters inside of us are full of his love. This love denotes an undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill. So this is not human love. We all have our limits. I hope you know what your limits are. But you know, God has no limits. And his unlimited love is inside you this morning. His unlimited love, his immeasurable love is inside of your heart this morning. What we need to do as believers is learn how to walk in love with him. Amen. How to release that love, not just to him, but to one another. And how to walk in that love to those that don't know him. Because inside you there's a well of love. And it's not yours. Well, it is actually, but it's been given to you. It's a gift. And that love is inside you. And it is undefeatable. It is, what a word, undefeatable. It cannot be defeated. It went to the cross and went through the other side. Went through the cross, down into death, down to hell, and back again, and went back to heaven. And he's now praying for you that you will live an undefeatable life of love. This is what God has for us. Undefeatable benevolence. Benevolence. How would you describe benevolence?
Generosity.
Generosity. overflowing generosity, an ability to give and to give and to give and to give and to give, times infinity. That's undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill. Amen. Good that God will not stop doing good to you no matter how you treat him. His unconquerable goodwill to you, faithful, that will not turn off, even when we disappoint him, even when we sin and we get things wrong, providing we repent and go back to him, his undefeatable benevolence, his unconquerable goodwill is always towards us. That's what I've discovered. And that always seeks, this love always seeks the highest good of the other person. Always seeks the highest good of the other person. So it's not about, if you're in a marriage, it's not about what your partner, your wife or your husband can do for you. It's what you can do for them. Amen. It's not based on you. It's based on love for them. Amen. It always has the other person as its highest goal. And that's with any relationship, of course, that we always seek the highest good of the other person, no matter what they do. It is the self-giving love. This agape love is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return. This is the agape love that got you saved, that brought you to Jesus in the first place. And it does not consider the worth of its object. Agape is more a love by choice. Right? It's very important we get this. If you're waiting for a feeling to feel God's love, you may wait for quite a long time. God will give you feelings of his love many times. But if you base it on your feeling, you'll be disappointed. Because God does not want you to walk around just feeling his love. He wants you to be walking by faith in his love. Now, you'll have plenty of experience of his love. You'll have plenty of feelings of his love. But be careful. Because if you live for the feeling of his love, that's not the same. And you can be deceived if you're just after a feeling. God wants us to, it says that this love is more of a choice than a feeling. That's what it's saying. Amen. And that philos, or filio love, philos, which is love by chance, and it refers to the will rather than the emotion. Philos has more to do with the emotion. That's feelings love. We all have feelings of love. But it's saying agape is more than that. It's just it's completely different. It's on a completely different orbit than just the feelings kind of love.
Unconditional.
Agape describes the unconditional, well done Liz, unconditional love God has for the world. So let's just read this verse 5 again and let's pray that the Holy Spirit will make this seep into us like a bit of coffee, like the hot water going through the coffee, that will filter right the way through into our spirit this morning. Amen. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I tell you what we need to do. We need to spend more time receiving. I entitled this morning, believing, receiving, and giving love. If you want to be a giver of love, you have to learn first to receive that love. Firstly, from God. And when we have our time with the Lord, when we spend our time with him, when we open up our Bibles in the morning and other times too, and we get before God on our own, one of the first things I do is I just thank him that I'm loved. It's one of the first things I do. I thank him. I rejoice in him. I praise him. I honor him. I give him glory. And then I thank him that I'm a loved man. Amen. You can thank him that you're a loved woman. You're a loved man. And I just thank him that I'm loved, and I start receiving out of that love right there. Just start receiving with the love. Because you see, that love is towards you 24 hours a day. That love is never, ever turned off. God has turned the tap on so far he can't turn it off. It's jammed on. And that means that his love towards you, no matter what you're going through, and in fact, no matter, if I can say it this way, no matter what you do, that love is there. If you're in sin, you won't receive it in the right way. If you're in disobedience, there's a lack of flow there, but God's love is still towards you. But when you're right with God, and when you're coming back to him, and you just open your heart to him, and you just thank him, and you start receiving out of that love. And I tell you, a good practice would be to spend at least 15 minutes at the start of your day just being still and just thanking him for his love. And just thank him that the love of God, it says here, the love of God has been poured out in your heart. That means it's been poured out, and the picture is it's been poured out and it will continually be poured out inside of you. It's like we've talked about, we've heard about it here many times before, about the well, the well that overflows, the well that has waters that literally run up on the inside of it. That's what this is talking about. It says the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit who's living in you today has put inside of you a well of living water. And that living water is full of his love and full of his grace and full of his power. And out of that, that's what you're supposed to live out of. It's the love of Christ. It's the person of the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's the love of the Holy Spirit in you. Is this making sense?
Yes.
If you understand that the Holy Spirit of love is living in you, he's a person, he's God, the Holy Spirit, living in you today, the Spirit of Christ living in you, and it's like a well that is put within your spirit. It's like a well of love. And God says, I want to teach you how to walk in love, how to respond out of this well of love, this supply of love. And the first place you start is in your own walk with God, that you believe that he loves you. Many Christians have a problem believing that he actually loves them. I was there once too. How could God possibly love me, all the rotten things that I do, my weaknesses, my failings, and even my sins? How could God possibly love me? Has anyone ever had those sort of thoughts? Doubting really the full love that God could possibly... Because we base it on how we are. Because we don't love everyone all the time the way we should. And we haven't always been loved the way that we would like to have been loved. But God's not like that. And that love, as you get to know that love sets you free. That love puts hope on the inside of you. To know that no matter what happens, his love is on you all the time. Brimming up. It's flowing up on the inside of you all the time. And God wants you to live out of that love. Walking in love. That's what God's talking to us as a church about. That we learn how to walk in that love. And the first place is to believe it. That God loves you. Warts and all. He knows everything about you and he still loves you. That's the amazing thing. He knows everything about you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But he still loves you. And he still loves me. In fact, he's head over heels in love with us. He loves us. And he says that the spirit in us, the spirit of loveliness, watches over us jealously. If you love someone, you watch over them jealously. Now, I'm not talking about the wrong kind of jealousy, envy. I'm talking about there's a right jealousy that God wants us to have. And God is watching over us to protect us with that love. That's how he is towards us, watching over us jealously. And he wants to teach us how to live out of this love. The love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I want to encourage you this week to make this an exercise this week, that before you do anything, start your time exalting him, praising him like we do, putting him first, thanking him for who he is and all that he's done, and then spend some time just receiving the love of Jesus. I know some of you already do this, but you know we all need to do this. Amen. And I tell you what it'll do. It'll cause that love to begin to flow up on the inside of you, that you'll begin to realize and believe God really does love me much more than I possibly realized before. And he'll begin to give you revelation about his love he has for you. I told you once, some years ago now, that I had some pressures that were weighing upon me. And I didn't know what to do with them. I should have cast them at Jesus' feet, but I still went to bed, going to sleep with all of these things growing round and round and round in my head. And I was worrying about stuff and getting anxious about lots of different things. And it was too much for me to bear. And that night, right in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the love of God came into the room and it came upon me. And it was just like oil being poured from head right the way through to my feet. I was completely transfixed because of the presence of the Lord's love. And what I experienced in those, I don't know how long it lasted, but during that time, as I woke up in this love of God, all the problems were taken away, washed away completely, lifted away. All the anxiety, all the pressure was lifted. And all I knew was God loved me. And he knew exactly what I was going through, and he knew the answers too. And when that love was poured out, it filled me with his love, filled me with grace, and filled me with hope. That's what it did. And from that day to this, I've believed in God's love in a different way than I did before. Because I had a revelation that day of the love. It's been in there all the time. I just hadn't really believed half of it. And we need revelation. We need to ask God, give me a revelation, Lord, of your love for me, please. Give me a revelation so I understand better the love of God. Because the more we understand of his love to us. And God said to me the next day, he said, you felt my love in the night. You felt my love and you experienced my love. And I revealed my love. But he said, my love to you is like that all the time. It's very important. My love to you is like that all the time, except you will never, ever feel it all the time. But that's the love is there for you all the time. It's just like that. It never turns off. It's there, and it's there inside you. And it's beginning to help me to live out of the love that God has for me. Begin to set you free as you realize that love is inside you today. And God's love is towards you 24/7. He's never going to turn it off. Even when you don't feel it, it's still there. Because you're in his hand, you're in Christ, and Christ is living in you. Amen. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I want to encourage you this morning, God wants you to walk in love. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's just go, just a couple of verses. I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 5. Because we'll just read a few verses at the end of chapter 4. Remember what I said about reaction? Are you a reactive person or are you a responder? Just ask, you don't have to give us the answer this morning, but just think about it. Do you react out of yourself? And that usually means you get angry, you say the wrong things, you behave in the wrong way, you do the wrong things. That's reaction. Or are you a responder? That means that the first thing you do is you dip into the well and out comes the love of God. Out comes the right words. Out comes the right actions. Out comes something supernatural. Because it's not just you, it's the Holy Spirit living in you, love. And that love sets you free, but it also sets other people free around you. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says here, it gives us a little list. We won't go through the whole list this morning, but in verse 25, it says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. We are members of one another. So it's saying we need to walk in truth. We need to be truthful to one another in love. Okay? Not out of love, but in love. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Reaction. That's reactive. That's not the love of God. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. So when something good comes out to build someone else out, you're responding out of the love of that love well that's in you. That's what God has for you. Each one of us has no excuse this morning because we've received of God's love. And we can draw out of that love well and produce the words that bring life. It's just a choice that we make. It's a faith decision that we make, whether we live out of that well, the well of the Holy Spirit, or whether we draw out of our fleshly, empty well that just has muck and rubbish inside of it. And Jesus took all that to the cross. And it says, say those things that are good to build people up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's responding. That's responding out of love, even if you're going through some things. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Where does he live?
In you.
Just say, he lives in me.
He lives in me.
So it says here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, what's bitterness? Bitterness is reactive. Bitterness is stuff that's gone inside of our hearts and minds and it stayed there for a while so that we stew over some things and we become a nasty taste. Bitter. And bitterness is reactive. It's not responsive. And it says here, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, maliciousness. But be kind to one another. This is responding out of the love well that you have inside of you. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it's saying here, this is you can respond out of the well of love that Christ Jesus has put into your heart through the Holy Spirit. respond by being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And then verse 1 of chapter 5 says, therefore, because of all these things, because of all that's been said in chapter 4, be imitators of God. Be imitators of Jesus. Be imitators of the Father. Be imitators of what you know of God and He's living in you. Be imitators of God as dear children. And what does it say in verse 2? Walk in love. Three words. Walk in love. That's where we're going to finish this morning, because we're going to walk in love. If you see me not walking in love, then I give you my permission, not that you need it, to come and say to me, walk in love, Paul. If you see someone else not walking in love, just say in love, not walking in love. No, just say these three words, walk in love. Don't even correct someone, just say walk in love. It's the word of the Lord, walk in love. So if you see any of us in this church not responding, just say walk in love. But you know what we most need to do, all of us, we need to actually walk in love.
Practice.
And it says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. That means walking is an action. Walking is something that you do day by day. Walking is something you're getting to a destination. Walking is exercising. Walking is activity. And God wants us to walk with Him in love, and He wants us to walk with one another in love, and He wants to walk into our workplaces, our communities in love. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and gave Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That was the love. That was the agape love that He's placed inside of us. Walk in love. That's the watchword that God has over us as a church. That's what He's looking for. That we're walking in love. I just want to give you one scripture for us to finish on, then we'll pray together. And that was something the Lord spoke to me just before I finished this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Matthew 5 verse 38. And I believe that God will challenge us with this. He'll start where you are and it'll flow out of you. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. You can't do this unless you do it out of love.
Amen.
And it says this in Matthew 5 and verse 38. Jesus says these words. He said, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's law. You could say that's reactive. But I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Wow, what's Jesus talking about here? And verse 41, he's challenging our concepts, he's challenging us now. Verse 41 says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now in the time of Jesus, when Jesus spoke this, that word compel, they all understood that in his day, in Jesus' day, a soldier had authority that he could command someone, you need to come with me and help carry my stuff. I'm going from town A to town B. And he could just say to Jerry, here, Jerry, I'm a soldier. You come and help carry my guns and my ammunition. I'm off to town B. And Jerry, because he wasn't a soldier, he was just part of the local community, he'd have to obey what the soldier said because the soldier carried the authority. This word compel means this: whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So the picture here is God wants us to go not just 1 mile, not just when someone asks us to do something, don't just go 1 mile with them, but go an extra mile with them. Go beyond what they ask you to do. And I just felt God say this morning that some of, maybe for all of us, it's me to start with, that today and through this week, and just be open during the summer, when someone asks you to do something, don't just do the basic minimum and think, well, that was love. No, that was just the basic minimum. You just did the basic thing. You want to know what real agape love is, it's going the second mile. Amen. And God is saying today, he's saying, I want you to go the second mile. Some are struggling even going with the first mile with some things. But God is saying, I want you not just to go the first mile. When someone compels you, just see that God is asking you through this person to go with them 1 mile, so you go with them 2 miles. It's a picture. It's a picture, but there's going to be a challenge come to us, even maybe even today, where we're going to be asked about something, and who knows where it might come from. And God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll identify something, and he'll say, now go with them too. Go and do more than what was asked of you. Go beyond just the minimum, and be a blessing, and release that undefeatable, benevolent goodwill of God. That's love. That's the love of Christ. Do you want to speak on the microphone? Speaking of the microphone, then we can all hear.
The extra mile. I was amazed by this woman. I was in the K2. As you know, I didn't have a car. I walked all that way, and I was doing some exercises. And as I was getting changed to go home, it started pouring with rain. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to get really soaked. No matter what I have, I'm going to, because it's an hour and a half to get to my home. But I don't know, the Holy Spirit led me to this woman who's changing. And I said, oh, my God, it's raining. I don't know how I'm going to. And she said, oh, dear, I know, it's really pouring. If you don't, I said, I don't have transport. And she said to me, Would you like I give you a lift? I said, would you please give me a lift? She said, where are you going? I said, well, I actually going. I want to go to the library and after go home. Perhaps by the time I get into the library, the rain will stop and after I can make my way home. But this lady, I didn't know if she was Christian or anything. She said, fine, I'll take you. Uh-huh. And as we got to the car, I discovered she was Christian. And soon we get to the car, she sat with me, and before we moved, she said, let's pray.
Wow.
And I was amazed by this woman. She's amazing to me now. She's really, really, really lovely, lovely young lady. But when she dropped me in at the library, she said to me, would you like, after, if you're going to stay, not going to stay long, would you like, I'll take you home. And that she went to the extra mile,
right,
you're talking
amen.
About.
Amen.
As yeah. she and she went, and I got to the library to do whatever I do, and she said, I'll come back and I'll take you home. And she took that extra mile, and I was really amazed, and I thought,
amen.
That's the sort of thing I usually do. And
that's
when she
it.
Did it to me,
yeah.
she amazed me. So she took me from A to B,
amen.
And then again, she knew the weather is bad, so she took me from B to C, and that's
right.
the extra mile you're talking
Amen.
About.
Amen.
And that's the extra mile I do when someone is ask
that's
me
it.
To do
that's
something.
Yeah.
I
Amen.
Usually
Amen.
Do it well done.
Yeah.
And that is the extra mile you're talking about.
That's
that has amazed me. This
that's
sorry
it.
To do.
Well, that's good. That's good, yeah.
So
are you ready? Are we all ready? Because God is wanting us to walk in this love. Now, it's not that we're not walking in love, but there's so much more. That's all I know. There's so much more that God wants us to know of his love. And there's so much more that he wants to, as we walk in this love and receive this love into our hearts, as we believe and receive, we can give. And that's where God is taking us. He wants us to be a people who give in love. You know, sometimes does God ever upset you? Does the Lord ever upset your plans? Have you got everything just sorted out just how you wanted it to be, and then he comes along and picks everything up and chucks it out?
Yes.
Most.
Yeah.
He does it out of love, because he doesn't want us to be just content with where we are. He wants us to go further in his love. You see, we can be happy. We can actually have a wrong kind of love concept where everything's just around me. No, it's not. Everything must be around him and what he wants. And we need to begin to lose sight of ourselves and have a vision of Jesus and others. And that's where you'll get most fulfilled. That's where I'll get most fulfilled, is when we actually leave ourselves behind, and if I can put it that way, and we follow Christ, and we get caught up with him and what he wants to do, and get caught up with meeting other people's needs. And your needs will be met out of love. Let's all stand, shall we?